Welcome to the Haftarah of Parshas Devarim. This week is the third and final of the warnings, the last Haftarah before Tisha B'Av. Shabbos Chazon. Unlike the previous warnings, which came from Yirmiyah, this Haftarah is the very beginning of Yeshaya. Although the Gemara in Bava Basra, Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis, describes Yeshaya as the Navi of Nechama, the Sefer opens with this warning. Rashi points out that Yeshaya's first Nevuah is really in Perek Vav. But as the Radak points out, since many Rishonim lived in his day, the Sefer begins with the Toichecha. The Navi is introduced as Yeshaya ben Amatz, without any other identifying facts. The Gemara in Megillah, Daf Tes Vav Amud Aleph, tells us that since his father's name is mentioned in the context of Nevuah, we can assume that his father was also a Navi. In addition, we have a tradition from Masechus Megillah and Daf Yud Amud Beis that Amatz was the brother of King Amatia. So we know that Yeshaya was the son of a Navi and also a member of the royal family. His career covered the reign of four monarchs, from Uzziah through Chizkiah. As the Gemara in Pesachim, Pei Zayin Amud Beis, points out, leadership and communal responsibility shorten a man's lifespan. Rashi dates this particular Navi, Nevuah, after the exile of the Ten Shvatim through Sancheriv, as it says later, in Pasuk Hey, Alme Suku Oid, why should you be hit again? Obviously, they have already suffered a severe loss. The Navi begins with Shimu Shemayim Hazinu Eretz. Moshe used a similar expression at the beginning of Hazinu, where he said, Hazinu Hashemayim Va'adabera V'sishma Eretz. Yeshaya was summoning the witnesses that Moshe had appointed to testify that the Yidden had not kept the Torah. As you see, Yeshaya reversed the order. In Chumash, Rashi explains that Moshe was closer to Shemayim, so he used the term Hazinu, which is an expression of listening when someone is very close to you. Tishma, which is used when someone is further away, applies to Aretz. Yeshaya, on the other hand, was further from Shemayim and closer to Aretz, so he reversed the expression. In his Perush HaNavi, Rashi says that Yeshaya wanted both Shemayim and Aretz to witness our behavior with both expressions, so there could be no doubt about the validity of their testimony. Hashem says, Bonim gidalti v'ramamti v'heim pashu bi. I have kept my side of the bargain. I have given the Yidden both Torah and the Shechina, but they have rebelled. Yoda shar kuneu v'chamor evus ba'olav. The ox is aware of its subjugation to its owner, and as soon as he acquires it, and we should have obeyed the mitzvahs that were given to us in Mitzrayim, as mentioned in Yecheskel, Perichov Pasuk Zayin. A donkey recognizes its owner after he feeds it, and we should have obeyed the mitzvahs that were given in the Midbar. After Hashem fed us with the man, does any ox refuse to plow for its owner? Does any donkey refuse to bear its master's burden? Yet Yisrael refuses to carry the responsibility of the mitzvahs. Based on this pasuk, the Gemara in Makkos, Chav Gimel Amud Aleph tells us that the whip used to administer makos in Besdin is made from donkey leather. The animal that does not recognize its owner, Trof, will punish the man who fails to recognize his debt to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We can understand the connection to an ox on a deeper level. The Midrash, the Tosfos Rosh in Yuma, tells us of a chacham with an unusual name of Yochanan ben Tarta, Yochanan the son of ox. Yochanan was originally a goy who purchased an ox from a yid on a Sunday. All week long, the ox plowed faithfully, but on Shabbos, it refused to budge. Yochanan angrily reproached the yid for selling him an unreliable beast and demanded a refund. The yid said, bring me the ox and I will fix things. He approached the animal and whispered into its ear, until now, you were my property and did not work on Shabbos. Now, however, I was forced to sell you and you are no longer property of a yid. You must work on Shabbos. Immediately, the ox started working, and Yochanan was so impressed that he converted and became a Talmid Chacham. His name is remembered for all time, as he is quoted in Yuma Daf Tes Amud Aleph. The Navi bemoans that the holy nation has become sullied with chait. Why should they continue to suffer? Mikaf regel v'ad roisha, ein boi mitoim, petza v'chaburu umaka tria, loy zoru v'loy chubashu v'loy rukcha bashamen. All are ill, all hearts are full of sorrow. From head to toe, they are full of wounds that are neither treated nor bandaged. The Tanarik of Yoinison understands that this is a reference to tshuva. They have neither tshuva nor even thoughts of tshuva. that could protect them from the punishments. The land is desolate, the cities are destroyed, and the farms are either unattended or food is looted by the enemy. Tzion is like a vacant hut in the vineyard, an unused overnight shelter in the squash field, and an abandoned city. The Malbim explains that produce only needs protection while it ripens. The vineyard must be protected both day and night, during the day from animals and at night from thieves. Squash is thick skin, it cannot be eaten by animals, so only needs protection at night from thieves. A city, of course, is constantly used. The passage describes the progression of destruction of Yerushalayim. First, it is like the hut of the vineyard, where only its citizens are present, and all visitors have ceased. Later is like a shelter in a squash field, where even its citizens are seen only at night, since they must hide from the enemy during the day. Finally becomes a totally abandoned city, empty of all its inhabitants. If not for Hashem's Rachmanis, no one would be left. We'd be totally destroyed, like Sodom and Gomorrah. A person should not leave himself open to such concepts. Al yiftach peh l'satan, it says in Brachos daf yutes amud aleph. And Hashem responds by calling us Ketzinei Tzedoyim and Am Amoira. Hashem does not desire the Kabbonis of Rishoyim. And when we come to Yerushalayim for the Regalim, we do not find favor with him, since we did not do tshuva. Do not bring any more Kabbonis, or even the Musaf or Shabbos Yontov, until you do tshuva. Even when the Kahanim raise their hands in tefillah, Hashem removes the Shechina from them, since their hands are full of blood of the innocent. Uv farischem kapechem, alim einai mikem. The Gemara in Brachos Lamabez Amabez derives this from the pasuk that a kohen who is guilty of murder no longer can raise his hands for Birchas Kahanim. The Navi continues with 10 expressions of tshuva, which hint to the Aseres Yimei Tshuva. The 10 Malchios, Zichronos, Veshoifers, Apsukim, Hashem says, L'chuna v'nivacha yomer Hashem, im yu chateichem kashonim kashela gabinu, im yadimu ketoyla katzemer yu. Based on the Gemara in Yuma, on Samach Zayim of Aleph, the minhag was to hang the scarlet ribbon on the entrance to the Heichel on Yom Kippur. When the Sar L'Azazel was killed, the ribbon turned white. If we do tshuva, we will enjoy the best of the land. But if we continue to do sin, cherev tuklo. The simple explanation is that when you're consumed by the sword, but the Gemara in Kedushin, Samach Beis Aleph, explains that we will have to eat dry bread and coarse salt together with onions, which cut and scratch the throat. Eicha, how could the faithful city become so unfaithful? It was once full of justice, and now it's full of murderers. The Pasuk uses the term yolinba, that justice stayed overnight. This refers to the rule that Sanhedrin would never convict a criminal and condemn him to death unless they slept overnight, just in case someone could find some pretext to save his life. Now, however, they kill at a moment's notice. The Medrash in Eicha, Pasuk Aleph, notes that three Nevi'im use the terms Eicha. All three read this week, in the Parsha, in the Haftarah, and in the Megillas Eicha. Moshe used it when he saw us in our glory. Yeshai used it when he saw us in our disgrace. And Yirmiyah used it when he saw our destruction. Navi goes on to describe the injustice and dishonesty that were so prevalent of the time. Finally, he concludes on a positive note. Hashem says that he will avenge himself against his enemies and bring back our judges. Then Yerushalayim will be called the city of justice, a faithful city. I want to just mention a thought I heard from a Rambam on the upcoming Tisha B'Av regarding our 2,000-year-plus Golus and Tisha B'Av that's upcoming this week. We find in a number of places in the Torah that there is a concept of Kvitzas HaDerech in Parshas Chayisara as found and in Va'ovei Hayoim Eloyin. Eloyin says, or has Kvitzas HaDerech. And in Parshas V'yetzai, it is found in 28:11, V'yifka B'mokam V'yolan Shom. In Parshas Baloischa, it's found in Perek Yud, Pasuk Lama Gimel, V'yisu Mahar Hashem Derech Shloshes Yamim. We find that Chayisara, before the Meraglim, traveled 3 days, traveled it in 1 day. As the Rashi points out, Kvisa Derech Mahalach Shaloshes Yamim Holcha B'Yom Echad. There's an old clair that we always have. How does Kvisa Derech work? What is Kvisa Derech? Do you travel 100 miles and it takes only 2.5 hours, which normally does, and it takes 2.5 minutes? Is that Kvisa Derech? Does it mean that I actually traveled the 100 miles, but it was suspended, so after traveling 100 miles, I get there, and it's only 2.5 minutes that's gone by on the clock? So it's a miracle in the Zman, a miracle of the time, or maybe it's a miracle in space. You travel 100 miles in 2.5 minutes because Rabbeinu Shalom compresses 100 miles, and it's only like 100 feet. and takes two naphthalim. So is it in space or is it in time? To illustrate this chakira, if you have an odometer in the car, and I was Eliezer, and he travels to find the shidduch, and he made it in one day, does he travel 600 miles in one day? And is it 600 miles on the odometer extra? Or does he travel 600 miles, but it's only a mile and takes a day? Whatever it is, it's a miracle of time or is it a miracle of space? In Parashat Baloischa, the time of the Kra, on Pasuk, in Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Aleph, brings the proof that you're traveling the whole time, but it's a miracle of Zman. So really, the odometer will go up 600 or 100 miles. You are actually traveling the space, but the Zman is shortened. Once you get there, only the clock is shortened, but the space does take effect. And that's his understanding of Kvisas Derech. Why? Why does it have to be that way? If Hashem is doing a miracle, why does it have to be that the Tircha is 100 miles, but only takes a few minutes? Versus, it should only be like a mile. Why does it have to be that the Nes, and you still have to Mitriach, you still got to go 100 miles, and you have to schlep on the road, and you got to get gas at 100 miles, but it only takes a few minutes. Let the Rebbeinu Shlom also make a Nes the other way around. That's a quick trip. So it's only traveling 100 feet. Why isn't it that way? Because the answer is there's something to actually taking the trip. There's something to traveling. When a Yid has to be Matriach, then you travel somewhere. We say it's a Ratzon Hashem. I'm heading out. I'm going. I'm traveling. The travel is meaningful. The going there is traveling. The effort that you put into traveling. When you're traveling, it's purposeful. The tirch, the bother of getting there counts. The challenges of getting there, the difficulties, that's the whole purpose. So too in Tisha B'Av. Many people say, got to get through the day. I got to get through the fast. The idea is not to get to the end of Tisha B'Av without eating. The idea is to have a Tisha B'Av that is meaningful. A Tisha B'Av that counts for you. A source of Avodas Hashem, an Aliyah. It's not just getting there. When there's Kvisas Derech, Hashem does not say, don't bother at all, I'm just going to shorten the space. HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes you work for it, even though it's less time. That's what we say in Parshas Maaseh, Ve'eila Maaseihem L'Moiseihem. The Rokotrava says that you might think that travel is just to get there. It does not matter. No, Ve'eilu Maaseihem L'Moiseihem. There is a purpose. The travel itself, the mice itself is for a purpose. So Tisha B'Av is full of challenges, and how you prepare for it, the minhag avelos that we have, all of this is purposeful. Tisha B'Av is an opportunity to be really meaningful. Have a wonderful Shabbos, and have an easy, meaningful fast.